Thomas Settle, ABC 308-022.
Okay, hold on one moment, Mr. Chairman, just update. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson is going to conduct your hearing, sir, so just hold right on, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Settle. Can you hear me, sir?
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. I'm sorry, what was that?
I was just trying to make sure you can hear me.
I understand. I'm sorry, it's very echoey.
Is that any better, sir?
I can't understand anything, sir. I'm just being honest with you. Can I pick this up? Okay. I'm going to pick up the receiver. One moment, please.
Okay.
Hi there. Sorry about that. You're on speakerphone now. I can understand probably.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Still kind of at the way, but we can work with it.
Mr. Settle, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. Could you please state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. Michael Edward Settle, ADC 308-022.
Okay, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning. Also with us, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Grady, sir. Mr. Shuttle, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form advising you of your hearing today, sir?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Prior to your hearing, you received and you signed a notification form that advised you that you were going to have this hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, I do recall signing the form. I believe that's what you asked, yes.
Yes. Are you able to hear me, sir? I just want to make sure you're able to hear me.
I'm sorry?
Are you able to hear me, sir?
Yeah, I see, that's not the issue. I hear you okay. Like, I hear sounds fine. My hearing is faulty, though. It's difficult to make out what you're saying at times because we're not speaking.
Okay. If there's something that you're not understanding, please feel free to interrupt me and let me know, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. So on that form that you signed, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf. It also notified you that you're able to obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, Mr. Shuttle?
I am in contact with an attorney. Unfortunately, I did not reach her in time, so I'll be representing myself today.
Okay, thank you, sir. But at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Grady in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Absolutely, I do.
I do.
Okay. Sir, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will make a decision whether to revoke or to reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I am going to read that allegation to you. When I read you the allegation, I need you to state whether it's true or false. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. The allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to establish residency at Traditions Halfway House, located at 24299 West Vista Avenue in Phoenix, on November 19, 2018, as verbally directed on November 15, 2018. Says the defendant's whereabouts were unknown, thus you are absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
Absolutely, and 100% false, and I can prove that I was directed to reside at TLC at 11th and Hatcher at that time, which I did do.
Okay, so sir, what I'm going to do is get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady, and then I'll get back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Grady.
Allegation number one. On 11-15-2018, the defendant signed condition of supervision stating that he would maintain contact with the supervising officer and follow all directives I give, either verbal or written. On 11-15-2018, the case was staffed with CCL Senior Hager and CCL Logan in response to his discharge from the halfway house. Fair submitted a URA on 11-14-2018 and continued to deal with marijuana use. The offender was counseled and placed in the American Elementary Center, sanctions until 11/19/2018. CCL Logan directed the offender to report back to Judicians located at 24299 West Vista Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85021, upon discharge from the American Public Reentry Center. Sanction established residency. On 12/13/2018, CCL Logan received an email from Judicians manager Amanda Acosta, who reported as of 12/13/2018, the offender never reestablished residency at Judicians due to still refusing to pay fees and directed upon discharge of the MRC on 11/19/2018. On 11/19/2018, the offender was discharged from the MRC but failed to report and establish residency at Judicians Halfway House, located at 24299 West Vista Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85021, as directed. The offender whereabouts are unknown, thus seeking misconduct from supervision. Following up number one. On 12/13/2018, CCO Logan attempted to contact the offender by contacting the offender's emergency contact, fiancee, Justina Brothers, at the phone number provided. Justina Brothers stated she has not talked to the offender in a week. On 12/13/2018, CCO Logan attempted to contact the offender by contacting the offender's cell phone number provided. The phone number call resulted unsuccessful due to no answer or response. On 12/13/2018, CCO Logan made telephone contact with the office of the American Medical Center and was informed that the offender was not a patient within the American Medical Center. On 12/13/2018, CCO Logan made telephone contact with the office of the Maricopa County Sheriff and was informed that the offender was not in custody within the Maricopa County Jail System. On 12/13/2018, CCO sent a text message to the offender's last known phone number directing him to contact them to avoid an obscure numbering issue. The offender sent a text message to CCO Logan informing that he will not be reporting to the probe office and he is no longer willing to continue on supervision.
Okay, so Mr. Shuttle, what's not true about that, sir?
I'm sorry, what was that, Mr. Johnson?
I said, what's not true about that, sir?
What's not true about that?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Everything regarding reporting to Traditions Halfway House on 11/19 is not true. I was directed on 11/15 prior to placement in MRC for sanctions to report to TLC Halfway House on 11th and Hatcher. That was set up telephonically by my parole officer in his office. He called ahead, told them to expect me. They did, and I did. Halfway House manager's name is Brian. Obviously, I've not been here long enough to establish telephonic communication with anybody. However, a simple phone call to TLC will show that I did reside there as per Logan's instructions until November 28th of 2018. I did not fail to report on 11/19 at all. And I did not go back to Traditions because, A, at that time I was not directed to. The previous time when I was directed to report back to Traditions, I informed Officer Logan that that house is a drug house and I did not wish to reside there. He had no solution for me and would not accept my request for a relocation to the East Valley, Mesa, Tempe area, closer to my job.
And so, so
here we are.
So where did you stay at, sir?
I'm sorry?
You said you didn't go back to Traditions, you went to TLC?
I was directed to go to TLC on 11/15 in his office prior to placement in sanctions at MRC. And so on 11/19, upon my release from sanctions, I did report, as directed, to TLC at 11th and Hatcher in Sunny Slope. So manager's name is Brian.
How long did you stay there?
I'm sorry?
How long did you stay at TLC?
I stayed there until November 28th of 2018. Until such time as it was determined that my job had indeed been compromised and I was going to be unable to pay my fees at that halfway house.
And so what did
you... I'm sorry?
So you did, but you didn't go to Traditions. You went to TLC.
As directed by Mr. Logan on the 15th, yes, I did.
Okay. And so where did you go after you left TLC, sir?
I apologize. I can't hear you.
Where did you go after you left TLC?
After I left TLC, sir, I had an established residency at my girlfriend's residence, at which point I waited and waited and waited because I was just, I'll be honest with you, I was fed up with the whole parole process. I was waiting for a warrant to be issued, and I checked daily on MCSO's TechnoCops website for said warrant. Not finding one, 2 weeks later, I text messaged Mr. Logan. Coincidentally, on the same morning, he states that he did all these follow-ups. On the 13th, I text messaged him and requested that he violate my parole, issue the warrant. And I did again, check MCSO's website daily after that. I even had my sister in Michigan log on to check to see if maybe I was missing something. No warrant was ever found.
Okay. All right, so what I'm going to do is go ahead and move this on to phase two, and we'll continue discussing this, and then we'll make a determination in phase two as we actually continue the discussion. I am going to make a determination at this time and move to find that Mr. Shuttle was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of the hearing. During phase two, the board's going to make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate the community supervision. We're going to start off phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Green. Then I'm going to go with some information with you in the warrant service, see if the board has any questions, and give you an opportunity to provide any information that's relevant that you'd like to provide to the board, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, Mr. Gray.
Mr. Sutter was originally DOC on July 2nd of 2018. He was arrested on December 24th of 2018 by Tempe PD. New charges of possession of marijuana. He returned back to DOC on December 24th of 2018. He was a CCD of March 9th of 2019. That reflects 35 pound days. Current conviction, 2016, aggravated assault, 3 years, 6 months. 2016, danger drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. He has no prior convictions. His one term with DOC, his CUI score of 3-2, Benadryl scores of 3, substance abuse scores of 2. He has no gang affiliation, no prior term of supervision. Disciplinary violations are minimal with drugs limited. Other arrests, 2013, DUI, liquor, drugs, vapor combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2018, misdemeanor felony or misdemeanor. He has pending charges from 2018, December, I guess, for this new charge here. And community risk score is a G1, B1.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
May I ask a quick follow-up question? Mr. Grady, 2018, that's for the marijuana charge from the police department's former charge on that. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Shuttle, looking at your case summary, supervision summary, it looks like that when you were released, you were approved to reside at Reborn Assistance located at 2546 West Orangewood. Then it looks like on August 7th, you were discharged from Reborn. And then on August 8th, you were approved to reside at Traditions located at 2429 West Vista Avenue. Then it looks like on November 12th of 2018, you were discharged from Traditions. It says that you were allowed to return back to Tradition upon discharge from ORC on October 19, 2018, and that you failed to return back to Tradition as directed. And that was your last known address. However, just from the previous conversation, you're saying that you weren't instructed to go to Tradition, you were instructed to go to TLC, and you did go to TLC. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct, and I'll verify that that was established by my parole officer via telephone.
Okay. It says that you were at one point working at Triton Technologies.
That's where I was working, yes, sir.
Okay. When did you start working there, sir?
I was released from employment there, I would like to say, on November 27th, officially. It really goes back to my sanction at MRC, though. Mm-hmm. Due to the fact that I was a no-call, no-show for 4 days, they decided to terminate my employment. However, the manager that made that decision was on vacation, so I did not really get the actual word until the 27th of November. Employment was pending, basically, upon release from MRC until the 27th.
Okay. It looked like that you were assigned a task for your analysis testing, and looks like...
I'm sorry?
That you were assigned a task to take the UAs?
I cannot understand you.
Okay, that according to the information that we have, you were assigned to task and given a PIN number, 6091, for submitting UAs.
That might be true, except that was not my PIN number. My PIN number was 5899.
Okay, well, they have 6091 on here, but 5899.
I understand. I saw that.
Yeah, 5899. Okay, so it says that on July 17th, you had negative results. On August 9th, you had negative results. On September 18th, you missed the UA. And then September 19th, you had a negative result. October 24th, your UA was negative. October 14th, you missed it. And then November the 15th, you were positive for THC. And again, on November 19th, you were positive for THC. So, Mr. Sutter, why didn't you get a bull run a car? Because you were negative. You were doing good. You were negative on your UA, sir.
Yeah, I understand I was doing good, Mr. Johnson. this opens a different can of worms. It comes down to my beliefs, sir. Marijuana is not something that I used to get all giggly, ha-ha, stupid, and sit on the couch and eat Cheetos all day. It's a matter of my culture, my lifestyle. It's something that I believe in. Conversely, do not believe in the marijuana card, as it were, the medical marijuana card. Mm-hmm. It's a faulty system, and really, it's just to me paying for the privilege, and I refuse to do that.
Okay, but that is an honor for you to, while you're on parole, that is one of the requirements, is that it's not saying that you can't, but you have to have a medical marijuana card in order to be able to do that. But I do understand that you're saying that's against your belief, but...
No, I understand.
Okay, so...
It's not something, and I wish to stress that I don't... it's not something that I do to blatantly disregard or be disrespectful of the law. It just conflicts with my beliefs.
Okay, so it also says that you had a sanction in response. Were you using methamphetamine too, sir?
No, sir. I have not done methamphetamines in 5 or 6 years or something. I have no idea where that allegation came from.
Okay.
And in fact, I would really like to see a positive test result for that somewhere to back that up.
So, Mr. Shuttle, if the marijuana use is just part of a belief that you have, how come you had all those negative UAs and it wasn't until the end that you started back to smoking marijuana?
Yeah, the interesting thing about that, Mr. Johnson, is I smoke marijuana all the way through all that. The thing is, I smoke in such low quantities, probably misses my system after a day or two. I don't, like I said, sit around the couch all day eating Cheetos and smoking weed.
So I want to ask you about, I know you said that you got upset, but I want to ask you about, we do have attached to the warrant, and I'm sure you've seen it, where there was a text that you sent to your PO, which basically, without reading the whole thing, I'm just going to try to sum it up, summarize it, that you were just tired of the PO trying to tell you how to live your life, and you just would rather for them to send you a warrant and get done with your time. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct, and I didn't want to appear before you today to get you to reinstate my parole. What I would like is for a reconsideration of my release date, which is currently March 9th, but that's based upon me going off the grid, my words, on the 19th of November, when in reality I was in compliance until the 28th of November, upon which time I left my halfway house. So I'd really like my 9 days back with the release date of February 28th. I do want to tell my number. I see no reason at this point to continue on parole. I mean, there's not that much left, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Mr. Shuttle, this board has no authority to either add or take away any of the dates. That's all done by the Department of Corrections. You have to work with your CO3 along with the Department of Correction and Time Comp. They're the ones who do that. They establish and make that determination and send the results to us, sir. So
I understand what you're saying, Mr. Johnson. However, they're setting their date based on testimony from your department, Mr. Logan. So where does that leave us? If I get released on March 9th and I contact my attorney and we establish that Mr. Logan was faulty in this, where does that leave us on an unlawful incarceration lawsuit or litigation? I mean,
you're asking me.
You see what I'm saying?
I do, but you're asking me a question that I can't answer.
Sure enough.
Let me explain something else to you too. This is the Board of Executive Clemency. We function totally separate from the Department of Corrections or the parole officer. So Mr. Logan, although is a parole officer, we separate functionally from those agencies. So if you decided to do that, that would be a decision that you made, Mr. Shuttle, and that's a right that you actually have to do that. But I'm going to go ahead and move on with the hearing, sir. I'm going to see if the board has any questions. Mr. Kachanis.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Shuttle, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
I just have one question, and that is, if you were fed up with the parole process, and again, parole operates independently of this board, and wanted to turn yourself in, why didn't you just turn yourself in?
Okay, and again, I checked the MCSO website daily for a warrant.
No, I mean, go to talk to your parole officer directly, or go to the parole office and turn yourself in.
Without a warrant, I didn't see any cause to turn myself in.
You're not making any sense.
And as far as talking to my parole officer, you see where that's gotten us. He can't even tell the truth on my affidavit here on my warrant of arrest. So why am I going to talk to him? My case supervision summary is a fabrication. So why would I speak with my parole officer?
Thank you, Mr. Sutter.
Absolutely.
There are no questions. Mr. Sutter, I just have one more question for you, sir.
Yes.
How did you come in contact with the Tempe Police Department?
Oh, interesting story. I woke up that morning to roll a joint, take a walk, and go smoke it. And while walking, taking a shortcut, I was walking through an alley, which apparently in the city of Tempe is against their municipal code. So that was their probable cause for a stop. And walking through an alley in Tempe is illegal. I did not know that.
And that's why you had a possession of marijuana charge?
That is correct.
Okay.
And coincidentally enough, the warrant had been issued 2 weeks prior to that, although again, it was not popping up on MCSO's website, because God forbid, had it been, I would have immediately turned myself in, since that's what I wanted to do to begin with.
Okay. All right, Mr. Shuttle. The board's going to go into discussion, sir, as we come up on the conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything
Absolutely.
Else you'd like to say to the board that's relevant to this case without repeating yourself, sir?
No, I just like to thank you gentlemen for your time, and I apologize for apparently wasting your time. I thought that we could come to some resolution on the release date, which was the only reason I was having you guys entertain this meeting.
Okay, sir, so the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, Mr. Shuttle, I need you to stay on the line so you can hear the conversation taking place. The board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision and get back with you, okay?
Certainly.
All right. The board is now going into a discussion. We've had the opportunity to look at the file and talk to Mr. DeSoto. It's been a very interesting conversation that we had with him. There's some allegations that he's made, but Mr. DeSoto has stated that it is just his belief that he has smoking marijuana is okay, so that's his belief. He didn't say that during the entire time that he was smoking marijuana. However, it just didn't show up all the time in the early things. He subsequently wound up getting arrested for Tempe while he was walking down the alley. He says he got up, decided to roll the joint, and go walk down the alley. Mr. Brady?
The PO has the discretion when there's a valid marijuana card to not test him for marijuana.
Okay.
The test wouldn't come up with any kind of marijuana if the PO is not testing.
Okay. He didn't have a marijuana card. he didn't have a valid marijuana because he didn't believe in it. Doesn't believe that he needs one to smoke. So according to Mr. Sutter, he actually came for this board because he felt as though he should receive some of his days back. He should have an earlier release date based on some confusion the way he was actually told to go to. He said he stated he was told to go to TLC instead of going to Traditions. He went there and he actually stayed at TLC in 11th Avenue in Hatcher, according to Mr. Sutter, to November 28th. And then he left there and he resided at his girlfriend's house. So based on that information and the information we have and conversation with Mr. Sutter, I think it would be best for Mr. Sutter to go ahead and complete his time. He does have a release date at this time, March 9th of 2019, at which time he'll be released. He won't be on any parole or community supervision at that time. And hopefully he won't have any negative contacts with law enforcement or anyone else after that period of time. That's my decision. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. And no comments coming from the colleagues, then I am going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Sutter, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, and had lapses about to lapse in criminal ways or company, as he was an absconder for 35 days. He did, I'm not going to say he relapsed, I'm going to say he did use marijuana during the period of time that he was actually out. And according to Mr. Sutter, he would rather just get his time done so that when he was finally released, he won't be on any parole or community supervision. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed. The motion by myself, second by Ms. Quinones, I'm sorry, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal. All right, Mr. Stuttle?
Yes.
Okay. So the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You do have a release date according to the documentation that we have of March 9th of 2019. However, if there is some conflict with that date, so I would encourage you to work with your CO3 and work with TimeCom to any corrections that may need to be corrected for that date, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Sutter, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. So again, thank you. Please set the phone down so the next person can come in or hand the phone to the CO3.
Absolutely. Thank you all for your time. Have a great day and enjoy the new year.
You too, sir. Thank you.